Excellent. Thank you. Nice to see you guys. I don't know where you guys have been the last few weeks, but many of you haven't been in church for a long time, eh? Well, not this type of church. But it is great. We've had a good time this morning so far, the first, whatever you call them, and now together now, it's been really great. Just some good news before we carry on. And I think there is a word to come, but I think you've heard this, but if you haven't, celebrate with us. But you probably have heard there's been a shift with Hannes. He's no longer under discipline, and he's becoming an elder, and we're moving forward. So that's great news. A little bit of sad news, but hey, it's still good. Will, who is not well fully, even though he still lives like he's totally normal, has said that he'd prefer to have all the elders being appointed to do that at the same time. And so Hannes will be appointed on the 24th of March now, online. And Lorna and myself will be there. You are welcome to come online to watch and celebrate. But Bree, you've held on for a long time. You've said the kids tomorrow, and then it's the next day, and now it's in a month's time. But hey, he's really done well. Just to give you some feedback, there's been good progress in his journey with the Lord. He has been sexually sober, which is great news. And there have been other areas of his character and heart that the elders have been working with, and he's responded really well. And this is just Church 101. And it's been great. And so he's done well. Give him a hand. Yeah. Some other news is Mike Davies is also going to be reappointed. Also, it's great news. Mike's a real gift. And it's not easy to fully understand. He's not here, so we can talk about him. He's not easy to understand, but if you get to know his heart, is he here? Okay, great. His daughters are here. But if you can understand his heart, man, you can see the beauty of the man. And there's been a real restoration in him and his family. And just God doing things in them. And so we'll be sharing more with you in the coming weeks so that you're on the same page as us. And that'll also be a great celebration. Not in the same light. No, actually, I'm not going to share that now. Okay, what else? We're going to have that word coming on. I might as well say Mitch and Sue, where are you guys? Okay, God loves the swallows. And they've been visiting us for a few months and then going back home. They've been a great gift to us. I think they're leaving their kids here this time, but they're going tomorrow. So we're sad, but we're happy for you. And they are coming back again, so we can celebrate that. So give them a hand. But lovely to having you with us. And just want to recognize you guys are on your way. And may God be with you. It has been sweet. You guys have blessed us. I'm going to put you in my preach. I've got a little 15-minute preach. I'll put you in it. All right. Where's that word? We had a word. Are you got a word to share? Rather, why don't you share that word when your husband's up here and you guys are sharing about the building well with a few? So, Daniel, where's Daniel? Why don't you come to the front? Where's he? Yeah. So they're going to be sharing. Come to the front, Salon. We'll save some time. They're going to be sharing, just encouraging us and what their experience is. I've got no idea what they're going to say. But as you probably have all heard, that part of our goal as a church is to build well with a few. And so we're seeing new communities being birthed. We're seeing guys taking risks. Those who've never led a community before are breaking new ground. And it's a new season for us. And often a new season means a new reason. And so we're discovering the new reason of God in this particular time. And the Lord's definitely taking us deeper with Him personally. And we're learning to find God with each other, by ourselves with each other, and leading others into more of God. And so we're going to hear more about that. Building well with a few. Go for it.
Thank you. What to say? Grant asked us just to share quickly in terms of what we're doing and what makes us happiest about our com. And Ritz and I were chatting about it yesterday over dinner. And adversity causes us to shift, like Darby's word there. We've always been people who've wanted to raise leaders and push people into leadership positions. But what's happened now during this crisis and us having to rethink how we do community was actually to thrust people into positions of leadership and teach them to take over. So we've had to become fluid. The thing that makes me the happiest with this, though, is to see the hunger and just to see each individual saying, yes, 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 I want to go, I want to go. It doesn't mean you need to know what to do. It's just that you're willing to do it. And that's insane. And to see the I call them young adults because we double their age, but they're adults in their own right. To see them make decisions that put God first and then themselves second. And part of that is sometimes stepping up and saying, yes, I'll lead. I'll take a chance. I'll take some people with me. And it's been a real privilege for us just to be able to shepherd them and sometimes push them a little bit. But just to see the willingness, and I think that's the most important thing. And then also to see the breakthroughs, the changes in, the lights come on. Like, psh, it's like, oh, I am capable. I've got the same spirit everyone else does, and I can lead. And I think it's the makings and the platform for when things come back to normal, whenever that's going to be, for a accelerated growth. Certainly from our community, I can tell you right now there's another 5 communities ready to plant, if not more. And I think as we go through the season and our guys take turns leading and co-lead and learn how to facilitate and grow and seek God in doing that, the actual community structure, that's secondary. It's how we're doing life together, how we're supporting each other, how we dealing with the adversity, how we going through life's challenges in these times. And that's what we do together. And that's what we do well together. And that's where a bond that forms amongst each other is not a Wednesday, come listen to a teaching, or a Sunday, come listen to a preach and spend some time together. It's about actually doing life together. And that's what they're learning, and that's what they're starting to do. And we don't have to ask. They do it of their own accord. So, yeah.
No, you said it all. I think what is just beautiful for me is, for example, Zandri led on Wednesday. And it's easy for us as leaders sometimes to want to take over because we've done it for so long. So it was self-control on my part too. But what was so beautiful is how, sorry, Zandri, I'm picking on you, but she just allowed the Holy Spirit to guide and to see. And it was just, learning to lean on the Holy Spirit, learning to wait on Him. And once we surrender to that, then something else moves and shifts in the room. And it's just so, it's encouraging to see. So well done.
Give it up for Zandri.
Yeah, she did very well. So just on that, I just have something that I want to share in my heart. While I was praying for our meetings and going forward, I really, so often when I run, God speaks to me. And the picture I had was, as we build well with one another, I saw the banquet table and how we, each and every single one of us, has been given a measure of faith. And I want to say to you, don't compare your measure of faith, because the measure of faith God's given you is yours. He'll fill it. So when you come to these meetings, so what I saw was some people bringing only a mustard seed. But you know, God was so happy with that. And He was so excited that you brought just this mustard seed. And then some people brought 2, and others brought 10, and some brought a whole tray full. And we all put it on the table, and God was like, this is the faith that pleases me. This is the faith that I love. And collectively, God's going to do something so exciting. So I want to ask you, please don't compare. Just bring that faith and let God keep on filling you. So as you're seeking His presence, just let Him fill you with more and bring it and see what He does with it, okay? So, Lord, thank you that you give us each a measure of faith. I thank you, Father, that we'll surrender the faith to you, and may our faith be pleasing to you this morning even, Lord Jesus, so that you would just, and Lord, we don't even actually expect anything. We just want to give it to you. In Jesus' name.
Awesome. Very good. Very encouraging. It was lovely for me to see the different people in the church that I haven't met. Actually meeting them And when I say I've seen them, but I haven't always met, it's just so lovely to have a sense of building. And I was telling the elders that my experience was that the Lord was more interested in what we were doing than I was. It was like I was aware of what needed to be done, but there was such a working of God. Does this sound not too nice here? Is it just me, or is it the sound a bit funny? Okay. And very encouraging to see the willingness of God's people to move forward. Very, very encouraging. And there was a word I heard in praying for this time, and that the word was opportunity. An opportunity is often got a beginning, thank you, has got a beginning and an end time. So in business, if you're an entrepreneur, you know that if there is an opportunity, you have to strike while the iron is hot. And often circumstances can bring about opportunity. And in the world of God right now, for us, there's opportunity for many to actually move forward. There's a growing, there's a desire in the heart of God to see us move forward and to actually grow in a way that we could never have grown without some of the governmental interference and just the virus and all the things that we are experiencing in lives right now. Am I sounding worse and worse? Not. Can you make me sound better, please, Chad? Huh? I need to sound good for me to enjoy my voice as I talk. Yeah. Close to me, okay. but some other good news that maybe you need to hear is Nikki and Nikki Brinestuff and their whole family. Kelly, sorry. I'm thinking of the other Nikki. Yes, Kelly. Sorry, Kelly. But they have got a green card for Australia in May, and they're relocating. Listen to this. And they're going to plant a church in Australia. I sound like a boxing room impersonator. I think it's a great opportunity for you. You know, God's a great risk taker. Look at all of us here around. So he's taken great risks. I think it's a great opportunity for you, Brew. And the gold's going to come out for you and your family. This is not just a random chance. To have Sally back you, it means he's heard God. So go for it. We're very stoked for you. If you want to go to Australia, put up your hand. And maybe we should just have a call right now. Anyone who senses there's maybe a shift for them. Okay, we got 1, 2 hands. Anyone else? At Snapper Rocks. Oh, my goodness. Okay, anyone else? Okay, we've got 5 guys going with them. Wonderful. Okay, we are pulling a bit here now. But there is a request for those who want to go with. Would you consider that? Seriously. So if there's someone who wants to go with, and there's no pressure on them. They're really going to be planting a community. And we'll see where it goes from there. So I'm actually very stoked for you. So that's really great news. Good. Okay. What time are we out of here, Hannes?
So we need to be out here by 12, but then that means packed up and everything
else. Okay, so I would say 15 minutes with a 5-minute wrap-up. So I mentioned the Radigans. And we were at their home. Second service blues, the Rankins. Sorry, Mitch. We were at the Rankins. They make really good pizza. I'm going to share a secret with you, but don't share it with anyone else, okay? I've been invited, I think, more than most people, but I know what the key is. The key is to come on time, and then you don't stay the whole night. You leave just after 8:30. So I don't know, I think it's the key. So I'm very keen to be invited over and over again. So if you get invited, 6 to latest 8:15, 8:30, you go, okay? But really great pizza, we loved it. I'm telling the story for a reason. So, yeah, he stayed until 11, he's never coming back. But someone shared a story with us. And I'm listening, and they said they went against see Will. I don't want to say who it is. I went and see Will. And they're chatting to Will. And Will's got this massive library of books. And just over Will's head, they saw a book with very clear writing. Christian sex. And I thought about it for a while. I thought, sounds very narrow to me. And why would the author call it Christian sex? Like, couldn't they have found a better, like, encouraging, more, you know, drawing in, I want to read that book type title. And look, I don't want to make fun of sex. Sex is holy. But as you know, sex has become a bit of a dirty word in our culture. And it's mostly because we don't understand that actually God did create sex for a number of reasons. For procreation. It's very hard for me to say that, but is that right? Yeah, procreation. For making children, if you don't understand what that means. And actually for pleasure, believe it or not. I mean, God did make some things for pleasure. And for bonding people. You know, and sometimes you miss the why of something. It's easy to miss the why of something. And so we're talking about this now. I'm telling you, you just saw young people scatter. It's like they're scattered out that room. I won't mention any names, nor look at anyone. It made me realize that often when we hear certain words, we have an interpretation, and we often lose the reward of that word because we have a certain slant. And you know, there are words like that in the church. I'm going to take a risk this morning. What words do you think are in the church that aren't linked to sex now? So we're moving away from sex to help you. But what are dirty words in the church, do you guys think? Now, I need some help here because we've only got 12 minutes left, and I want you to put a whole lot of words out there, and I'm going to choose the one I'm going to preach on. But what would you say some of the more dirty words in church are? Anyone out there? Structure. Yeah, that is a dirty word, eh? Yeah, you're right. Structure is definitely one of them, yeah? Thank you. Tithing. Can just someone just take a picture of that girl? Make note of that. Yeah, but thank you very much. It is a dirty word in church. I'm just pulling. Submission. Yeah. Oh, that's a woo-hoo. Yes. Religion. Yeah. That is a. Yeah, it's almost a swear word. I think someone should show commitment. It's like it can be a word used in difficult circumstances. Anyone else out there? Come on, I'm running out of time. Authority. Accountability. Yeah, authority. Yeah, you guys are doing well. Come on. Starts with an R. Yes. Repentance. So I'm going to look at the role of repentance in our lives and show you how it's applicable today. So I want you to open up your Bibles. This is church. Open your Bibles. We're looking at Colossians 2, verse 6. If our... you got it. Lekker. So, let's read it together. Well, I'll read it for you. So then, just as you receive Christ, Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. I want to focus on this part. Just as you receive Christ, continue to live in Him. And the ESV says, continue or walk in Him. So there's a clear picture of, in the same way we receive Christ, we continue in Him. And there's certain foundational values and perspectives from God that we carry through in our faith, and we never outgrow them, and one of them is repentance. So we begin with repentance. Who can remember Acts 2 where the church was born, Peter preaching the gospel? They asked him, Peter, what should we do? We didn't realize we were crucifying Christ. What should we do? And he said, repent. And so it's one of those words that we began our journey with, and it carries right the way through our faith. What does repentance mean? Well, it means a change of mind. It means a change of direction. A change of living. It's a change of heart. It's literally turning from and turning towards. It's a great word. It has a great reward as well. Acts 11:18 says, repentance unto life. Can I labor this word just for a few minutes? When we repent, we're actually turning towards God and we're looking at Him. And we're not only looking at him, but we begin to ponder, we begin to draw from, we begin to see the greatness of his salvation. We begin to see that salvation, if you're on this road, you'll rediscover the wonder of it over and over and over again. If that's not real for you, if that's not real what I'm saying now, then I would say, God, shift my heart. God, capture my heart. Because I find in the scriptures that we'll be singing about the God of salvation at the end in such a way that we'll be captured. You must remember, God is able to make something that we think we know what it means, and he'll open that thing up and open it up to such a degree that we're going to sing, "Oh, mighty God of salvation," that's Revelations, for eternity. It's part of the thing. Now, you might go, "Ooh, that doesn't sound too good." But wait until you see what God reveals of himself. And so we look to not only what God has done, but who God is, and we get captured by him. We see his work, we see who he is. And that's 101 Christianity. It's not firstly about church. And it's not firstly about you. Actually, this road begins with God and ends with God. Well, he does say, "I want you to love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind." To be captured by God. You know what's interesting is when we read the book of Acts, we always start off with verse 42. Who knows verse 42? Acts 2, verse 42. Anyone? They devoted themselves. But very few start at verse 38, which is the source of verse 42, where God called them to himself and out of who he is and looking, they out of that they devoted themselves. Let us be captured by God over and over again by turning to him, by knowing him. Often I discipline my mind and my heart to come into the Lord's presence and not to think, "What should I do?" I discipline myself to ponder and to be filled with all that God has done. So I'll read Colossians and I'll read the part where it says, "He has reconciled me to himself." And I just let that be my goal. Lord, you, not me, you have reconciled me to yourself. And I begin to think of all the ways that implicates and affects my life. That God is the one who's reconciled me. He is the one who saved me. And I rest in that. And then I begin to read how he forgives. Because part of that initial foundation was the forgiveness of sins. And because of time, I'm not going to go and read it for you. But it says that it pleased the Father. So this is one of my favorite verses, chapter 1, probably verse 18, 19. It pleased God to have all his fullness dwell in him, speaking of Christ, pleased him, and through him to reconcile to himself by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And so I'll ponder on this and I'll say, "Father, I can see that you're satisfied, that you have been satisfied by the blood of Christ, that your great wrath towards sin and your horror and the penalty of sin and your hatred of sin has been somehow appeased by the blood that was shed, and that you have decided to make peace with me based on your work and your blood." And I begin to not analyze myself, or am I feeling forgiven? I don't do that. I look and I see how God esteems and values the blood of his son. And until I know, I see it like him. And what happens is, you're able to then drink of, ongoingly, the forgiveness of sins. We've often said it's easy to receive the forgiveness of sins. It's not always easy. You often need help. And so I would come even to the Lord and say, "Lord, would you enable me to eat and drink of your forgiveness? Let me see it like you see it." And there'd be times where the Lord will convict me of something and say, "This, I want this to come into the light. Bring that there." And it's incredible how this reality is life-changing. Romans shouts out and says, "Blessed is the man, happy is the man, whose sin the Lord will never count against him." Man, I'm telling you, we've got a revelation of that. You guys will be dancing the tables. You won't even listen to me preach anymore. It's like you'll see it. There's something about the forgiveness of sins. When you stand in it, it's liberating. It's very powerful. I've often encouraged those that wrestle with self-condemnation to look up and to stand in the fullness of the forgiveness of God, not for your needs, but to the glory of God. And there are times where we actually need to stand. Everything in wants us to disqualify ourselves, look for areas where we actually are not in some way worthy of God's presence. And there's a truth to this. We're not worthy of God's presence. But we are standing in the presence of someone who's made a way for us. And so you do need to learn to stand in what God has given us. And so to the glory of God, we stand in the full forgiveness. And we look up. And we receive the forgiveness of sins. We never outgrow this. We live in it. I wonder where you are in this. Repentance impacts every area of our lives. To walk in Him. I had some thoughts that I feel like the Lord inspired me to encourage you with. It's one of the things, one of the dirty words mentioned this morning is religion. And another word that we've come up with is quiet times. And I feel like the Lord's putting His hand on quiet times. I know what you're going to be thinking. And you know what happens in our quiet times? We do all the talking, but it's called a quiet time. And we do no listening. And it's like God, He bought into this thing to have a relationship. And He's not getting what He bought. Like He wants real relationship. And so it does take a recognizing, are you listening? And how do you learn to listen? If you've got young children, I remember one of the people who are launching out into the deep this week and leading people for the first time have a young son. And I was watching him. This is my home on Wednesday or Thursday night. And I could see that the communication that he can receive is quite limited, but he's able to listen. Trust me, God knows how to speak to you. But you would need to be in a posture and a hunger to want to listen. Because man will not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so your quiet times can't be a talking time. Call it something else. And so the Lord's after relationship. So what does it look like for you to continue to walk in Him? And that's what He's after. And sometimes we really have to take stock of how we're relating to God. Have you ever had one of those in your marriage? It's like suddenly one of the partners says, listen, yeah, I think we need to talk. And it's like you sort of know, okay, what's going down here? And sometimes the Lord wants to do that. We need to talk. And it's not because He wants to pin you in a corner. He wants what He paid for. And it's amazing. I'll do some self-confession here. It's amazing how we move away from this so quickly. So I've had some big business decisions to make. It's a terrible thing for me to confess to you. But it's like I was thinking of all the guys who know more than me. Okay, and I was like, okay, this, that. I'm just get this information, get that information. I need to process this. And I was working every angle. It didn't cross my mind to simply come before God and say, Lord, what do you think about this? How do you feel about it? Didn't cross my mind. And it's not that I was disobeying God. It grieved Him. That it wasn't in my radar. And I brought a person to Him. And I said, Lord, what do you think? And I just knew. I knew what God felt. And I want to encourage you. You belong to Him. I don't care if you only know this thing for a month. If you might disqualify yourself and say, Grant, look here. I don't know if I've ever heard God's voice. Let me encourage you. My sheep know my voice, and He knows how to lead you. I want you to risk it with Him. Turn that quiet time into a listening time. Repent. Turn. Look. Change gears. Shift. These things we never outgrow. Okay. Coming in for a landing. Just to make this more holistic, repentance is not only towards the Lord, it's to each other as well. It'll affect our relationship with our wives, our children. If you're a child, with your parents. It's been amazing for me to see when you bring God in on your parenting, suddenly you see what the Lord's after, not what you think needs to change in your children. And you're able to be objective and actually encouraging them where they need encouragement. So you become an encourager. And you begin to identify areas that God wants to change. And you work with the Lord. We need repentance in the way we parent. We need repentance in seeing each other the way God sees each other. We also need repentance, which is changes every area of our lives. I've been challenged by the scripture. In the same way you receive Christ, so walk in him. God's calling us to walk in this season of building well with a few in every area of our lives being touched by the Spirit of God. What does it mean for you at work? What does it mean for you in your life? What chaos are you tolerating but God wants to bring order? If you read Genesis 1, God brings order to chaos. Sometimes cleaning your garage can be a mighty act of spiritual warfare. Come on, wives, nudge that husband. Okay, let's go for the ladies. A kitchen cupboard with order can maybe bring some little bit of change to your marriage. What area of your life needs some order? In our relationships, how's God calling us into repentance? How's God calling us to be in agreement with him so that we might have the reward of repentance being unto life? So this season has a reason. And one of the things that God's after is our hearts. Not only your heart for him, but our hearts for each other. As I've heard Mike reflect back to me, we're in this together. And so the Father actually wants hearts that are united to him, to each other, for him, being found by him, but also being found by him and by us together. That's one of the reasons for the season. So let's stand together. Oh, Lord, you're very kind to us, eh? Very, very kind. I'm going to ask... I'm going to ask David to just to close in prayer and to follow his heart. I just want to encourage you with him. Is you're wondering why I call Davi David. And I think it's very important for him and actually important for us for him to close the circle of his own transformation. So one of the keys for us as a church is Dave changing. And he has changed much and he is changing. Because we need good shepherding in Melkbos. And he's got that gift. So to encourage you, you know what happens when you've been around someone for a long time? We sort of get to know them. And then we take a picture of them in our minds and we put it in our back pocket. And that's the imprint we have of who they are. And it's hard for someone to change beyond our paradigm. And so because some of you have known him for 20 years, you might not be aware of what God's changing in him. And so it's very important that we work with the Holy Spirit, not only with David, but with everyone. I'm changing slowly. Actually, it's been a long 30 years for me. If Lorna was here, she would say, here's little sporadic changes, but it's been a slow journey. But we do all change, seriously. And that's part of being a Christian community is not holding someone in a certain paradigm. I'm even thinking of Mike Davies. Some of you have known him for many years. He's changed. Will we accept the change and celebrate the change? So I want to encourage you, I'm calling him David because I want to work with the Lord in seeing the change in his life and helping you do that change so that you can receive the reward of God in him. So that's very important. Do you think you could do that prayer after that whole thing or do you think I should maybe ask someone else? Should I ask Brother Barrent? Yeah, maybe ask Barrent rather. I don't want to put you on the spot. But why don't you lift your hands and look to the Lord? And take home. So I've shared a lot this morning. But why don't you take home what God wants to encourage you with and what God's that you're putting into your spirit. Because the Lord said to me, don't talk fence language and gate language this morning. I want to feed my sheep. And so I think the heart of God has been wanting to find you and to feed you. And even through these clay lips. Take us away, Barrent.
Let's just do that. Let's lift our eyes to the Lord, open our hearts. Maybe raise our hands. Father, we bring our lives to you this morning, God. It's not our own. Like Grant said, it was bought with a price, Lord Jesus. And we recognize that in you, God. And this morning, God, as men and women of faith, Lord, of men and women that's been bought with that price, God, we want to say, come have your way in our lives, Lord. Lord Jesus, come shift us, God. Come change us, Lord. Give us new names, God. Just Father, whatever you're wanting to do, God, our lives, our souls, our minds, our beings are yours, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that in this week, even from this moment, God, that you would highlight repentance to us, God, wherever that needs to be done, God, with friends, with family, with children, Lord Jesus, with co-workers, whatever the situation, God, let us be known as people that can come and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Help me. Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill us up again afresh, even now, God. Holy Spirit, lead us. We need you to help us to walk this road out with you, God, so that as we read in Colossians, that we keep on walking with the Lord. That's our hearts, God, is to keep on walking with you. Let us never lag behind, and let us never run ahead of you, God. But we want to stay in step with you, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we commit our lives to you afresh. We thank you for Grant and Lorna, God, and their family, Lord, who is leading us in this time. Thank you for what you are doing within us in Josh Gen, God, and that we can build deep with one another in this time, God. Let us not miss the moment and the opportunity that you are giving us now, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.